But if you really want to feel something, let's talk about Jesus. How about that? I'll tell you what, He is the one. Tell you what, that's like that song, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lamb. I'll tell you what, I've never found anything in my life that could take and do what He has done in my life. Amen? And I believe that you can say the same thing. He's taken and turned me around more than 180%. He's put my feet on a solid rock. He has set me on a straight and narrow path. And you know what? I can't help but praise Him this morning. I can't help but give Him the glory this morning. Because you know what? Happy Father's Day to all you fathers this morning. And let me tell you this morning before I get into the message. You know what? If you want to be all that you can be, you remember that commercial for the Marines a few years ago? About, well, you can be all that you can be, or the Army, or whatever it was. I forget what service branch it was in. But I can tell you this, if you want to be all that you can be as a father, you hang on to Jesus' hand. You get a hold of something that is real, and you hang on to it, and you will be the father. You'll be the husband that you should be and ought to be. Because, amen? I'm going to be over in Acts, the 24th chapter, beginning with the 24th and the 25th verse. I want to ask this morning, what hinders so many from being saved? Let me ask you that. What hinders somebody from being saved this morning? What causes them not? Acts 24, 24 and 25. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, heard him concerning the faith in Christ, and as he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment, this time, when I have convenient season, I will call for thee. I want to say it again. I want to say that last part. For thy way, for this time, when I have convenient season, I will call for thee. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, that you to continue to be with this service this morning. I want to give you all the glory and the praise that you so rightly deserve. You know, Lord, I pray, Father, this morning that you would just get me out of the way again, that you would use my lips, Lord, that you would just use them, Father, for your glory and your honor. Pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name we pray and ask, and amen. I would like to, this morning, walk through a church door. Everybody that sits underneath a church roof this morning is saved and is going to heaven this morning. I would love to be able to tell you that. But the Scripture comes and tells us that that's not the case. For not all who say, Lord, Lord, shall enter in. Is that right? That's what the Bible says. So it doesn't make any difference whether or not someone attends church every Sunday, Okie, or every Wednesday night. That doesn't make them a Christian any more than anybody that's standing in a garage makes them a car. Amen? It does not. You know what? That's what I'm saying this morning. You know. So, but what hinders them? Is it according to the Scripture? That's not the case. Is it because God doesn't want them to be saved? No, no, no. Let me say beyond a shadow of a doubt that God wants everybody to be saved. Amen? He does. Over in Matthew 18, 11 through 14, and when he's talking about the 100 sheep and the one that goes astray, talking about the 90 and 9, and you know what he says over there in the 14th verse? Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And he goes on to tell us in 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4, for this is the good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want you to know this morning, God wants everyone to be saved. He did not send His only begotten Son to die on a cross that some could be saved and some should not be saved. He wants everyone to be saved. Amen? You know, the reason so many people are not saved is because there's something in their lives. There is something in their lives that is hindering them from being saved. It's not because God does not want them to be saved. Ephesians 2:8, for by the grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Listen, there is one reason or another, these people have chosen not to accept the free gift that God has given them. The free gift of salvation. Amen. They've chosen that for their lives. And you know what? Whenever they do that, they merrily skip and go along. They're headed for a devil's hell, a place that was never intended for them. They're going straight for it, and they can accept the gift of God if they want it. Amen? And they don't do it. As we see in Acts, as I read to you, on several different occasions this morning, Paul stands in judgment for what he believes. He's here again right now. He's standing in judgment before Felix right here. He's standing here, and starting in Acts 24:1, and over clear to 26:3, we will try to show you with God's help three different situations. Listen, three different situations that let hindrances, these people let hindrances get in their way from accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I believe that it comes right down to where we're living at today in this country and in the church world today. I believe that. We see in chapter 24, Paul's already testified to before Felix. He's already done that. We see that. Answering the false accusations that were before him. You know how they said that they accused, the Jews come and accused him of stirring up trouble. That's in the synagogues and amongst the people. That's already been said. They accused him of doing that. Among the people, now let's look at Acts 24:5. For we have found this man, a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Listen, the Jewish people thought that Paul was just some kind of a pestilence that had been put upon the Jewish people, not knowing that when Paul was sent to preach the gospel, he was sent to them to try to get them to understand that, you know what, that this Jesus is real, that he is standing at the right hand of the Father. He was making intercession for them right then, and they could not understand. They thought this man was a pestilence. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you're out there today and you're testifying to a lost and a dying world, there are going to be people out there today that are going to think that you are a pestilence, that you are a pest, that no matter where you go, they want to think that you are nothing than what you're claiming to be. But praise God, keep on keeping on. Keep on preaching the Word of God. My Bible tells me that the Word of God will not return unto him void. It's going to hit the spot, is it not? And it will do that. But listen, these people thought that he was a pestilence. That's what they were trying to say. And Felix comes along with his wife, Drusilla, and they have sent to Paul to hear him concerning the faith, concerning this Jesus Christ. And what happens next? You know, let's read verse 25. And he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. There are many today that hear the word of God. They do the same thing that Felix did. They hear it, Jay. They understand it. They will hear it. There are people that are sitting in churches today that have heard the word of God year after year after year. They hear it. But you know what they keep telling God? Listen, put it off a more convenient time, God, when I am ready. When I am ready to accept you, then I will accept you into my heart. Then I will do that. There are many today that do that. Are they not? The Holy Spirit is all over them. And just like with Felix, he keeps wooing them and drawing them. And you have Felix tremble. I've told this story. I've told it to me. And I know I've told it here lots of times. There was a gentleman over at 14th Avenue. And Hayward Gribble was standing up there preaching the Word of God with all his heart. And that man, when the altar call came, was sitting back at that seat as we were sitting behind him. And he was doing this. And the Spirit was dealing with him so much. And he would not go to that altar. He walked out of that church. I was so sad and so broken heart. He walked out of that church. And I never known of him ever to accept Jesus as his personal Savior. Felix was a man that seemed to have it all. This man was a man, he lived in the life of luxury. A man whose passion went unrestrained. Felix did it. Yet, when this man whose very name means pleasure got to listen to a great man of God that Paul was and heard the preaching, he began to tremble because the convicting power of the Holy Spirit had fell upon his life. Let's make no bones about it, folks. The Holy Ghost starts working on someone or something is going to happen. Can you say amen to that? When the Spirit of God starts to work in your heart, you know when it starts to work. And whenever it starts working, I want you to know something. Something has got to happen. You're either going to step out, you're going to do what it wants you to do, or you're going to keep rejecting it, and you're going to walk away from it. You're going to do something. There's going to be a decision made. There's going to be. Let's make it a better. It can shake you down to your very soul. Have you ever had the Holy Ghost work upon you so hard that it shakes you, your very being, and it shakes down inside of you, and you know what's going on? Not fairy tales, folks. The Holy Spirit is real. The third part of the Trinity. And I want you to know something also this morning, that whenever Jesus Christ went back to sit on the right hand of the Father, He said, I would not leave you comfortless. He said, I will send the Spirit of God. And He said, He will be with you, dwell with you, to lead you in the ways. But as you see, we see Felix, who told Paul, when I have a convenience, I will call. Some may look at this and say, how could he do that? Paul is preaching. The Holy Ghost is working. What more could it be? You know, some would even say that he was probably dumb, right? Or probably stupid. Some would even say that, right? I don't know. Maybe they would say it. But you know what? Listen at the church world we live in today. If they're not doing the same thing. Many are sitting in churches doing the same thing today. They're hearing the word preached. The Holy Ghost is dealing with them and trying to get them to come and take care of what's going on in their lives. Yet they sit back there. And they do nothing about it. Nothing. Not a thing. And you know what? And they're telling him some other times, I'm young. I have all this time. I'm young enough. I don't have to worry about it. I'm young and healthy. I don't have to worry about accepting God now. I'll do it later. You know what? Some older individuals, they're sitting there, they're sitting back here saying in churches today, you know what? I've done it the way I've done this all my life. You know what? I've gotten by just fine. The Holy Spirit's dealing with them, and they sit back there, and they go on about their business, and they say, I don't need Him. I've done this my own way. And there are others who have done it their own way, they think. They think that they don't need anybody or anything in their life. They take care of themselves, and you know what? They sit back, and they say, what do I need to serve Jesus or God for? I've gotten by so far on my own will and my own way. Oh, the devil is lying to them like they cannot believe. I want you to know something. You don't do nothing. Don't do anything without the power of God. God lets you do what you do. God lets you get up this morning. God lets us take and have our daily breath. God lets us go to work. God lets us go to school, wherever we may go. We do not realize. God does that in our lives. We may think we do it on our own, but we do not. God does that. He allows that. And I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost now, and they send Him away. And these people do that. And you may be one of those that's doing that. Let me say something very clear to you. You can't get saved in a time of your convenience. You do not do that. You don't make it. You don't say, well, I'm going to get saved whenever I'm this age. I'm going to get saved next week. Or I'm going to get saved there. You know what? You don't get saved when you think you're ready. I have had many say, I'm not ready, but when I get my life straightened out, I will be ready then. Listen, if the Spirit is dealing with you, do it now. Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. I'll tell you what, there are times, I tell you, whenever I got saved, and I've said this, this is my testimony, I've said this around here. When I got saved, I come out of that church at night, and I wasn't saved. I was 16 years old. I'll never forget the day. That boy come up to me, he was like 18. He said, would you like to be saved? And the convicting powers of God had been all over me that whole service on that Wednesday night. And you know what? He asked me, do you want to be saved? And I looked at him, I said, yes. I said, yes. We got on our knees outside that church down in that little breezeway in Mannington, West Virginia. And God come into my heart. I was ready. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, for He saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you are sitting back there today, and the Holy Spirit is dealing with you this morning, today is the day of salvation for you. Do not put it off. Don't do that. Don't say, whenever it's my time, whenever it's my will to get it done. It does not happen that way. It does it whenever the Spirit's dealing with you. And may I say something else to you this morning also that I believe? He only has to deal with you once. He only has to deal with you once. There are some that have been dealt with more than once. I know they have. And God has got them, but He does not have to do that. He has to deal with you once. And if you talk it off and if you put it aside and you say that may be your only chance to ever get salvation in your heart, can you deal with that? Can you deal with that? I don't know. I tell you what, it breaks my heart to even think about that. Also, notice who was sitting beside of him. It's his wife, Dorcellus. And also, the Bible does not say a thing about the Spirit dealing with her, does it not? It doesn't say a word about the Spirit dealing with her. I certainly believe that as I studied this Scripture, I believe this is what the Paul's preaching had little or no effect on this lady's life whatsoever. It doesn't say that it did. It said that whenever he had preached of this stuff, it said that Felix was trembling. It doesn't say anything about his wife trembling. Doesn't say a word. See, she was a Jew. She was a Jew who had left her husband and married this guy right here. History tells us that. And look at her and married this gentleman right here, and she was living in sin, and she was living in sin because she had left the Jewish ways, number one. She had given everything up to go and be with this man right here. She'd given everything up to do this. And yet, it tells us, you know what? She had heard the Scriptures. She had heard the Old Testament where it talked about, you know, in the Ten Commandments. She'd heard all this. She knew her lifestyle was wrong. She knew it. She knew according to the Old Testament law she was living in sin. Let me say this with all the love I can. If you ever come to the point in your heart is no longer convicted when the Word of God is being preached, you are in trouble. Do you understand that? If the Word of God is being preached to you sometime down through the years and it is not convicting you, helping you to draw closer to Him, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. She was not being convicted enough. Tell you, there's a story that I read a while back about a preacher and his friend, and this young preacher, and his friend was come to him and tell him, he said, you know what? He said, you preached to me. He come to him a few years later and told him, whenever you were younger and you preached to me, he said, the convicting power of God used to be over me. I couldn't even hardly sleep. He said, I couldn't even hardly sleep. He said, but I never did anything about it. He said, now that you're older, you're a better preacher. But you know what? I never feel anything. I never feel anything out of your preaching. That is sad. That's sad for that individual. You know what? It's come to the point in his life where God has stopped. We had the Scripture this morning, in our lesson this morning, how God has pulled the blinded their eyes to where they wouldn't see the truth anymore. And there are people like that sitting in churches today who are blinded and cannot feel the Spirit of God in their lives. Dorcellus was one of them. How tragic. The more knowing an individual lives in sin, the less likely he is to feel the convicting power of God in his life as he goes day after day and keeps rejecting the Spirit of God in your lives. How sad is that? How sad is that? I think it's very sad. I think it's very sad. Ephesians 4:19, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. What a talent! Who being past feelings? We are living in a day and age today where there's so many who are past feeling anything in their lives. You talk about the zombie theories. I'll tell you what, there's the spiritually zombies out there. They are. There's a bunch of them out there. You know, and let's look at another reason here. Festus. It was his fear of man and unbelief that hindered him. Look at chapter 25, 9, 19, and 20. But Festus, willing to do the Jews' pleasure, answered Paul and said, wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? And then 19 and 20, it says, but had certain questions against him of their superstitions of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. Because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. Listen, Paul affirmed to Festus that Jesus, whom Festus knew had died upon the cross and was dead, Paul affirmed to him that Jesus Christ was still alive. I want you to know something this morning. Jesus Christ is still alive. Those of you here know that. I'm not preaching to the choir this morning. I know that. But there are some in churches today, I don't believe they think Jesus is alive. The way that they act, the services that they have, you know what? You go in there, you don't feel the Spirit of God. You feel an ice box in there sometimes. I have preached in churches like that. When you get up and stand to preach and you cannot feel the Spirit of God, you want to talk about preaching hard. That is hard to preach. And there are churches today that are like that. And listen, listen. I'll tell you, he confirmed that Jesus is still alive. What Festus' reaction to what was Festus' reaction to the testimony? It was unbelief. It was unbelief is what his reaction to it was. As I read to him in his last two verses that I read, you know, and it said, listen. And he told him, he said, and because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would be to Jerusalem there to be judged with these men. He doubted. He didn't believe that Jesus Christ had risen. May I step out on a limb and tell you this morning? May I just do that if you don't care? You know what? There are men today that do not believe that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. They do not believe that he's in heaven on the right hand of the Father. And you know, there's countless millions who are dying and going to a devil's hell because of unbelief. And that is sad. I want you to know he is not dead. Jesus is alive and well. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is Jesus. I'll tell you this before and I want to stand by it again. It's not Buddha. It's not Buddha whatsoever. It's not Muhammad. It's not any other God or any other prophet or any other thing in religion that they can throw up there. It is Jesus Christ is the only way that we can be saved. Because he is alive. Philippians 2:10, 12. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is alive and well. Amen. And I want you to know what Festus doubted it. He doubted it. So what? So do you not worry that men say about or think about you or what some might do to you? Don't let unbelief drag you down. Don't be like Festus. Amen? And the third person I want you to look at tonight is Agrippa. It was this morning. Agrippa, it was his attitude towards time. You know what? Agrippa was a Roman politician. Look at Acts 26, 1, down through 1. I'm not going to read it all down through there. But then Agrippa said to Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered him. Paul went on to tell him, give him his personal testimony, did he not? If you read down through there, Paul told him how he was on the way to Damascus. Paul preached to him how he was struck blind. Paul told him how that he heard the voice and that how that through that he became saved. Praise God, he told him all this. What was old Agrippa's reaction to him? Paul, much learning has made thee mad. I'll tell you what, you serve Jesus Christ in the way that you do it. You go on serving him and some people are going to think you're mad. You're going to think you're mad. You know that? They're going to think that you are just absolutely nuts for serving Jesus the way you do. You go to church two or three times a week. You go to revivals. You go do different things like that. And you speak of Jesus all the time. Now, you see how people treat you. They're going to think that you're mad. They're going to think that you're nuts. They're going to think you're some kind of a religious freak, right? That's what they're going to think. Paul, in Agrippa, believest thou that the prophets? He asked him that question. His response, he said, because so many today are saying the same thing. Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. There are many today hearing the word. They're feeling the Spirit of God in their lives. They're turning around and they're walking out of churches across this land and across this country today. And they're saying, you know, to themselves, well, you know what? I almost believe that. I almost believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You know what? Almost is only good in horseshoes and grenades. Right? I'll tell you what, being almost saved is being all the way lost. We need to accept Jesus. We need to have all three of these. Now, one woman, both I mentioned you this morning, were never talked about ever again in the Bible of ever accepting Jesus as a personal Savior. None of them. The three that I mentioned in that woman today were never talked of as accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I believe they're crying out in the midst of hell today. I believe that, for they did not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior because they handled the question. This is how they handled the question of salvation. Why didn't they just get saved? Why did they not just accept it? Can we not ask that same question today of friends and families and neighbors in our own lives? Why do you not just accept Jesus as your Savior? Why can you not see that He is real? Why? 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 Because they are in this world. You know what? They'll go to hell because they do not believe. That's where they're headed. That's where the Psalms. It says, well, there's five reasons why I believe The people do not accept Jesus. And the first one is pride. Psalms 10:4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. They will not. They have this prideful attitude about them. I don't need that. I don't need that. The second thing is pleasure. 2 Thessalonians 2:12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's where their pleasure lies. It's not in serving or doing the things of God. It's just doing the things that they want to do. You know what? The third thing, it is the people. It's the friends, the family, the foes of the foes of people. You know why you say foes for, preacher? Because you know why? Some people do not want to be saved because they're afraid that their foes or the people that are against them are going to have some kind of advantage on them. They may claim, think that they're weak. And you know what? They love people. They let people torment them into not accepting Jesus as their Savior. That's what they do. They consider them, Psalms 118:8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. And I'll tell you the last, one of the last things, number four, is our past. It's our sins we have, our failures, our past commitments. We let so many times, we let people, in 2 Corinthians, tell us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you because of your past you are too bad to accept Jesus. Don't let him tell you because of what's went on in your life in the past that you know what? There's no way you have any hope. It is a lie straight from the pits of hell. Behold, all things become new. That's what he tells us. Whenever you get saved, he casts those things as far as the east is from the west. And praise God, he remembers them no more. Men are going to remember that stuff. Let them remember what they will. Jesus is the one with the most important one we have to remember. Amen? And the last thing is the price that's going to cost some of them. You know that? There are not many willing to repent and get saved. There's not many willing to do that. You have got to be willing to give it all to him. You cannot take any back with you. If the altar call comes and the Spirit is dealing with you and you come to this altar, lay it all on this altar. Give him everything that you've got in your soul and in your spirit. And when you do that, praise God, he will come in and dwell in your heart and go with you. Luke 13:3 tells, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance is the getting rid of all that's in there. Get rid of it. Yes, Jesus has paid the price so that you and I can go to heaven. He has paid that price with his blood and dying on the cross. He paid that. But you and I must be willing to let it all go and turn only to him. I'm telling you, I believe this. I believe this wholeheartedly. The reason that some people cannot get through, they come to church and they come to the altar so many times and they pray and they get up and they take it back with them. They take it back. They harbor something inside them and they take it back. And whenever you do that, you cannot get through to where you need to be. You've got to give it all to him. Every bit of it. Don't let anything hinder you. Don't let anything hinder you from finding true peace and true love in your life. And that only comes through Jesus Christ. Amen? I'll tell you what. These people right here are good examples. What hinders some people not to get saved. And there's probably countless others that are dealing with them in their lives. If something is dealing with you today, don't let the devil lie to you. Please. Don't let yourself be untrue to yourself today. Get up out of your seat as the altar call comes. Come get a song, please. And come this way. And let us pray. Let us pray for you. If the Spirit is dealing with you this morning, do that. Now, today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't put it off till next week. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Don't put it off for another time. Not a more convenient season. Today is the day.